Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Takedown, a Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast focused on South Dakota State Wrestling. Once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex, and we also have special guest, head coach Damian Hahn. Alex, how you doing today?
I am doing swell. Been a good day.
Kids doing well?
Yeah, kids are well. Been a good day, been a productive day, and I'm thrilled to have our guest here today. How are you doing, coach? I feel like we have informally met so many times, not that you would remember me from anyone, but it's good to kind of have the formal introduction here a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's all good, man. I'm looking forward to this because every time it's always fun. It's always fun.
Yeah, and apparently your wife's well aware of this podcast because I talked to her at the – she's like, oh, you're the guy that talks to my husband for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. When you guys – you're not our most – visited guests, but you're in the top two now. You're only being beat out by your 174 pounder.
Oh boy.
Cade's been on here, I think, every year since he's been around.
Yeah.
So, you said you're an open book. I know you're an open book. I just like to say, coach, and I hope it's not over the line, you're looking good, man. You must be wrestling a lot because you are fucking good. Funny. I looked back to try and get some pictures for the thumbnail, and I thought I'd notice it personally. And I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely. That guy's looking good.
Well, I say this all. I actually said this yesterday. I was on the phone with somebody, and I said, I don't actually call what I do wrestle anymore. It's more like surviving, and I'm really freaking good at surviving. So I would like to get on the mat more. As you get older, you know, it's little things happen here and there. And so it's funny because we were down at the Virginia Duels, and it was the night before where we got our guys, and we are getting down to weight, and I'm going with Tanner Cook, and we're kind of just sparring and playing around, and the dude foot swept the hell out of me. And I kind of go over, and my heel smacks on the ground, and I swear I thought I like fractured my heel. And so that's kept me out for, you know, a handful of weeks here. And but usually, yeah, I mean, we try to get on the mat as much as possible with the guys when needed, right? I mean, it's one of the only sports out there where you got coaches, you know, one getting their hands on guys and you know, it's physical. So I always like to kind of joke. It's like, I'd love to see Hendo out there just dunking on some dude or Jimmy throw the pads on and jack some guy up, you know.
Oh, don't tempt him. He might. Don't tempt him.
But no, man, that's what we do. That's what we do.
Yeah, Hendo, Jimmy, we have great other staff. Thanks for bringing them up. I know you guys all get along. Quite the dynamic there. Maybe touch on that a little bit if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's see here. I mean, Cam, I mean, and I have known one another from his days being recruited at Cornell and coaching him. And, you know, after he graduated, he stuck around our program and continued to help out within our club. And then, you know, I always told him there would be a time where, you know, we're going to be on staff together, and South Dakota State was that time. And so I brought him along with me, and, you know, I love each and every one of them. Obviously I've known Cam the longest, and I mean, you talk about just a good dude. I mean, he is, wow. I mean, you don't find him better. Right. And someone, I think, you know, you talk about the program, you talk about what we're able to do. And I think a big part of that is because of trust. And, you know, I trust him immensely. I trust them all, to be honest with you, but you know, he's been with me, you know, forever. And then, you know, getting here and getting to know Cody and over the last 6 years, me and Cody have built a phenomenal relationship. I mean, I look at him as one of my closest and best friends. And again, you talk about that trust, and you're able to do things, and you know, if I can't be there, or they have to make a decision on, you know, training or whatever it may be. I mean, I don't usually question. I mean, these guys know where I stand and the standard that we keep, and they run with it. And then Brady's been with us for the past 2 years. And, you know, I've built a relationship with Brady, and at the end of the day, man, they are just awesome, awesome people. And, it kind of, I make the joke, but they make me look like a real dirtbag because they're so good. They're such good people. So
I don't think it's quite that bad.
Well, no, I'm telling you, they are.
You get the chance to interview Cam for the first time. And yeah. Now I know 100% why, like, that guy's salt of the earth as well. We talked, must have been for a half hour before and a half hour after. But
yeah, after.
And I'm telling you, he'll talk all night. He'll talk all night. And that's coming from me, right? It's like, goodness
gracious. That's saying something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of touch on some of that, Coach. I know you talked about it before, but for newer listeners or just for this year's pod, year six now, you said?
Yep.
So what was that like? What, you know, your assistant at Cornell and this job comes open, Justin Sell contacts you. What was your first thoughts? What was attractive about this job? Bringing your own guys, merging with Cody, gets kind of touch on a lot of that different stuff.
I think, and I don't live my life this way, but, some things have happened in my life, and it kind of, like, I don't want to say a light bulb goes off, but it's like sometimes the best things are unexpected, right? And when it came to this opportunity, it was the furthest from my mind, I guess you could say. You know, I mean, there was a plan in place, and I was going to stay, stay at Cornell and kind of do my time and hopefully take over for Rob when he retired. And all of a sudden, you know, I've had other opportunities to leave, and some weren't the right fit, the right dynamic for, you know, my vision and where I thought, you know, we could take a program and build. And so this kind of came out of left field, to be quite honest with you. And Justin, you know, gave me a call, and I remember the first initial phone call I had with him, and I got off the phone and I went and told my wife, and I was like, man, that guy, I mean, impressive, like really, really impressive. He reminded me a lot of our previous athletic director at Cornell, Andy Noel, and younger, but the same energy, the same vision, the same just gung-ho about, you know, what the program could do, and kind of got me fired up about it. And obviously, you know, fired my wife up a little bit. You know, she's from Minnesota, and got off the phone and told her, and I was like, you know, I think this is a place that, you know, I'll take a look. And when I came out, I knew what to expect. I mean, most people think, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, I went to Minnesota, and then going back to the East Coast and going to upstate New York. When most people hear New York, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, New York City. Like, wow. And it's like, dude, Cornell's in the middle of nowhere. Like, I mean, there are parts of Ithaca that, I mean, you don't have cell service. I mean, like, you know, you're in the kind of the foothills, and it's a beautiful area, but you're surrounded by dairy farms and state parks. And so coming out to Brookings, it was, I kind of had the same idea of what it would be like, but without, you know, the terrain, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, came up to campus, and campus was, you know, relatively the same size student body as Cornell. Cornell had 14,000 people and or students, and then, you know, SDSU is sitting around 11 or so. And so it was very familiar to me. But the one thing that kind of stood out was the facilities, right? You know, Cornell is a beautiful campus. I mean, they have beautiful buildings, but they're, I mean, it's an older school, and they're very big on traditions. And so the athletic facilities were older, and the only facility in athletics that was really state of the art was the Freedman Wrestling Center. And that kind of, you know, was a big draw for not only, you know, the student athletes, but for coaches and you know, at Cornell. And so when I came here and walking around and seeing, you know, the S-Jack and seeing, you know, the stadium and Frost, and I was like, wow, man, this is pretty, I mean, the S-Jack just, I mean, it blew my mind, and it was super impressive. And, you know, I knew the, you know, the old wrestling room wasn't anything to brag about. And one of the conversations that we had was, you know, the investment into wrestling, and Justin was talking about, you know, a wrestling facility. And, you know, he asked if I would help, you know, fundraise for it. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, that's something that, you know, I learned at Cornell. I mean, they don't have big revenue sports, and everything that they do is basically fundraise for the most part, and for their athletics. So I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And after my visit and meeting some people and going through the whole, you know, song and dance, you know, I came home and I told my wife, I said, babe, this is a real, real possibility. And obviously she was excited about it. And, you know, we sat down and we chatted, and it just made the most sense. It felt right. And obviously, you know, was excited. And so, you know, took the job, and I had some, not concerns or reservations, but I had to put a staff together, right? This is something that kind of came out of the blue, and I'm sitting there like, okay, you know, what am I going to be able to do? Who am I going to be able to get? And like I said before, I already had, you know, Cam in the back of my mind. And, you know, I actually told him today, cause we, you know, it's funny, I had a performance review, and, he still has
getting trouble with HR.
He still has a job, but, we were sitting down talking, and, you know, he was asking, you know, about the process in South Dakota State and why and all this kind of stuff. And I said, I'll be honest with you, Cam. I mean, I had conversations with, you know, people, even him, but people surrounding him that, he was going to be the guy I was bringing with. And he had to take some time and kind of work through some things because he had prior commitments. But I knew deep down in my heart that he was coming. He was coming with me. And that gave me some peace, right? It gave me some peace because I didn't really know what I was getting myself into from a personnel standpoint. I really didn't know Cody. You know, I met him on my my interview process, but I didn't know, you know, enough about him to tell him, hey, listen, you know, we're gonna move forward with you or not. And he appreciated that. I told him I would do my research, but it gave me a sense of peace knowing that Cam was coming with me. And so I felt good. I felt good, hit the ground running. And when I got out here, Cam didn't come for about another month or so because he had obligations. He had to kind of tie up some loose ends. And I got to get to know Cody, and I actually lived with Cody for about a month, and lived with him and his now wife Haley, and got to know them really well. And the more time I spent with them, it was like, man, this dude is an absolute workhorse, and he is passionate about his career. He's passionate about the kids, and that's something that I don't want to say you don't see in our world. I believe I've said this before, and I believe there are only two types of coaches in this world. If somebody can come up with another, you know, let me know, but there are two types, and you got the coaches that will win at the expense of their athletes, and you got coaches that will win with their athletes. And Cody, he's going to win with them. And you know, our policy, you check your damn ego at the door and you come to work, and it's all about these kids and developing them and making them the best they possibly can be. So does it other areas kind of your life take a little bit of a toll because you're not spending all the time in the world? It does, but you got to have a supportive, you know, system, a supportive, you know, spouse and partner to be able to go through this and do what we do. I mean, I literally got home, you know, right before I jumped on this podcast, and we were at the facility from 7-8 o'clock this morning and until now. And so it is a lifestyle, and you know, coming out and getting to know Cody, and then kind of going through, you know, who to bring in. First, we had Chris Dardanes, and Chris was with us for, goodness, three years. Oh. And then Chris moved on and got a teaching job down in Iowa. And then we were up for another coach. And my college roommate and teammate back in Minnesota, Jared Lawrence, who he runs one of the premier clubs in the country, Pinnacle, out of right out of the cities. You know, I got on the phone with him and I'm like, Jared, man, I need a middle guy, you know, someone who can, you know, get on the mat, someone who can, you know, work with, you know, everyone, but a smaller guy. Because if you look at our staff, we're all pretty big dudes. And in wrestling, it's, you know, people kind of pigeonhole you a little bit. And it's like, well, where's the little guy? Where's the big weight coach? You know, and it's like, listen, we get on the mat with every single one of our guys from heavyweight down to 125. And it's, you don't need to be a specific size, but in the wrestling world, everybody looks at that. And so, Jared kind of told me, he's like, Damian, Brady's, going to be coming back, you know, to Minnesota. And you know, he wants to, you know, start a club and start coaching. And I was like, well, hell man, we'll give him a call. And so I called up Brady, had a great conversation, got him to Brookings, and he loved it. Loved the size of the town. He's from Casson Manorville, a small town in Minnesota, just west of Rochester, and it just fit for him. And it was a good situation, and he's been with us now, you know, 3 years, and you know, I feel like, you know, I got the best staff in the country. I mean, I go to bed at night not having to worry about things. And I assume it's the same. It's reciprocated on the other end, because we all take care of what we need to take care of. And what comes first is this program and these kids. And it's not going to change. And I think that's why we're having some of the success that we're having, is because of our culture. And it stems from, you know, the people that these kids surround themselves by. And my staff is, I mean, they're just salt of the earth guys, and they work their tails off and they don't have egos. So I think that's important.
Yeah. And all my interactions with Cody and Bergie and Cam have been just fantastic, especially since I've got a chance to interview them all now. Great guys. Speaking about success a little bit, let's talk a little bit about the season, if we can. Have some success, more success than we have in the past. Got up to number 10 in the coaching rankings. Or maybe talk about that a little bit and how the season's gone so far and where you see us trajectory wise.
Well, you know, every year that we've been here, we've hit milestones, right? You know, in a lot of different areas, from the, you know, the academic side, from the wrestling side, from, you know, if you want to talk about fundraising, you want to talk about just so many different facets within our program, we have hit. And it's been kind of an upward trajectory with a lot of it. But you know, you mentioned, you know, a top 10 ranking, and, you know, that's a first in program history, you know, to be able to be ranked in the top 10. And, you know, that happened, you know, this year, and we're sitting at 11th right now. And I'm not really sure. I mean, it's a coach's ranking, and other coaches kind of pick it or whatever, but, I mean, I think we should be ranked 10th, to be honest with you, ahead of Michigan, but we're not. I mean, we lost to Minnesota, who's ranked behind us. Minnesota's best win is us and our best win is Michigan. So it's like, I don't know, whatever. You're splitting hairs a little bit. And then, you know, another, you know, first for our program was for the first time in history, we had 10 guys ranked. And that is another milestone that, goodness, I mean, that's huge. It's huge for your program. And then, you know, speaking of, you know, Michigan and, you know, we wrestled Missouri this weekend, but, it was 3 years ago, I believe we wrestled Missouri and it was our first ever top 10 win, against a, you know, a top 10 program. And that was 3 years ago. And then this year we got our highest top 10 win when Michigan was ranked sixth. So, you know, there's been a lot of good things. You know, it has not been easy. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, Chad, yeah. that first year that we were here, I mean, it was part of my French, but it was dog doo-doo, man. I mean, like literally, I mean, the cupboards were bare.
Yep.
And we were trying to piecemeal it together to get guys out because I wasn't going to do wrong by the kids and the kids that we brought in burn their red shirt year just to, I don't know, fill a team or, you know, whatever. The right thing to do was, hey man, Damian, you're going to take it on the chin and you're going to do what's right by these kids and red shirt them and develop them and get them ready for the following year. And so, I mean, we won three duels and holy heck, I don't even know how we won three duels and, but we did. And I think the biggest thing was, we had a plan, right? We had a plan and we did not deviate from that plan. And I remember going, you know, every Wednesday during the season, you know, we do our luncheon and, you know, so down at Cubby's at noon and, you know, they came off one of the most successful years they've had at the Division I era the year before. And, you know, everybody was kind of under this impression like, hey, we're just going to keep it rolling. Well, dude, when everybody change was. Happened, people rolled out and things changed for us. And so when I came in, I think they thought I was just going to sprinkle pixie dust around and, you know, poof, we were just going to be right where we left off. Well, that was not the case because, you know, of some things. And, you know, I remember going to these luncheons and, you know, we had, you know, a fraction of the people we have now. And, sitting there and they're like scratching their head because they're like, goodness, I mean, we took 12th in the country. We had a national champ and, you know, all this jazz. And I'm sitting there and, you know, they're probably like, what are you doing? And I had to reassure them. And it's like, listen, I'm not going to deviate from the course. Like, you know, what somebody does, you know, what a panicked person does when things aren't going right, they change everything up and no, we have a plan and we're going to stick to this plan and we're going to ride this plan because I said this, you know, to a lot of different people and it's like, listen, nobody can sit here and tell me that the system that we had in place at Cornell did not work. It took time. And now they have been a perennial program for heck. I've been gone 6 years and out of the 12 and a half that I was there, 11 and a half of those, they were in the top 10 and we took second and third and all that. So it's like, nobody can sit here and question, you know, the system. And so coming here, I wasn't going to deviate from that. We were going to do it our way and we did, and we stuck to it and we grinded it out and we're seeing the fruits of our labor. And, it's been a process. It has not been easy, but I kept reassuring people. It's like, listen, man, just stay the course, stick with us and good things will happen. And hey, you know, anything worthwhile takes time. It's not like hitting a lottery. I mean, like, you know, you have to invest into this and it does. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of time and commitment. So, yeah, we're having success. but you know how, you know, sports are. I mean, that all can be gone. And, you know, but you hope that you have built a good enough foundation, right? A good enough foundation to weather storms and weather, you know, some unforeseen events that could take place. I mean, heck, that's college athletics today. I mean, anything's possible. I mean, you know, the rules keep changing every single day, every minute, I feel like, and nobody has a handle on it. So it's tough. It's tough to kind of navigate, but we're doing what we can, and we're doing it our way. We're doing it, I believe, the right way. And we got a group of young men that, hey, they'll stand right up and say the exact same thing. So, we're having success, and it's winning's fun. You know, it is. And I think there's still a lot more to go, a lot more to come.
Jordan's comment here said nail on the head. Everyone that's listened to the words knew this was part of the plan. Jordan, aren't you supposed to be working right now? Don't you have Stagger to go check? To kind of build off some of that, talked about the current state of college athletics, and we have you on here, so I kind of want your opinion on this, coach, and Chad knows my opinion on this hot button topic, but
yeah,
duels in college wrestling, been a bit of a hot button topic the last 2 years. Well, do you find value in them? And if yes, I'm assuming yes, maybe that's wrong for me to assume, but if I'm assuming yes, how do we incentivize them for some of these other schools
that seem to want to? How do we fix it?
Yeah.
Right. How do we fix it? It's broken now. Right? It's broken.
Right or wrong?
I mean, this is a long.
This is a 2 hour conversation.
Sum it up just a bit.
Yeah. You can devote a podcast just to this alone, but I am a firm believer in duels. Firm believer in duels. And I think the number one thing why is you talk about fan base. You talk about building momentum. You talk about just school spirit, right? We wrestled Michigan. And I can tell you right now, I mean, there was close to 3,000 people down at the Pentagon. And I mean, it was a packed house. And I would be willing to bet that 90% of those people sitting in that arena had no idea who was actually wrestling. They knew Michigan was wrestling.
Right.
Okay. They knew, hey, Jax, they're wrestling Michigan on, you know, whatever day. We're going to go and support the Jax. Probably some of those people didn't even know who the hell our guys were, but they knew South Dakota State was wrestling Michigan and they were going to go and support us. So you talk about building your fan base, you talk about viewership, and that is it. I mean, it is so, so important. Now you have the true fans that they do go and they know who's wrestling. They know the matchups and they're like, I can't wait to see this match versus this guy. And, that is a little bit more in depth into the weeds, but I am a firm believer on duels. I think it's the best way to build your brand, because it's a team. And honestly, you are in a duel meet, you are as strong as your weakest link, man. And everybody plays a part, right? Even in a loss, it plays a part. Like, you're outmatched. Hey, listen, don't give up six. You know, you can only give up the decision. I mean, you played a part in winning that duel. And so I think that's super, super important. How do you make it more important to other teams? I mean, this is the tricky part, right? Because you can say whatever, you can put rules, you can put a financial commitment onto it. Like, you can do whatever you want, but the big thing today, and it's warranted, right? You talk about the overall health and well-being of student athletes. So what is to say that, hey, my guy woke up today with 103 fever. He can't wrestle. And the coach is lying. I don't know. No. But you're going to throw a kid out there and God forbid he does get hurt. You know what I mean? So then you're dealing with a whole nother set of things, and you know, it could get worse. It could get bad. So how do you incentivize duels? Well, I think So I don't know if I'm if it's public yet, but like, for example, I just agreed, the NWCA is mm-hmm. our wrestling governing body outside the NCAA, and they want to do a national duels. They had a national duels back in the day, you know, when I was at Cornell and when I wrestled, we wrestled in national duels. It was ran by the NWCA. They don't do it anymore for Division One, but they want to establish a Division One national duels again, and it's only gonna be for mid majors. So you take the Power Five out, and mm-hmm. then all the mid majors, they want to do a national duels. And I don't know if the response of it, but I can tell you right now, I guarantee you it's got to be 95% and above are going to support it, because it gives us a platform to go and do some things that generally wouldn't happen. And so I'm all for it. I think duels are the greatest thing in the world. Now, we did have it. I don't know however many years ago we had it, and all of a sudden you get some coaches, you know, at some of the, you know, the bigger schools, like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to expose my guys, you know, or, you know, it's at the wrong time of the year, or they always have some darn excuse. And it's like, listen, and I think you heard Cam talk about it on the last podcast, but, you know, sports are entertainment. People get entertained by sports. And when you have coaches, when you have programs that don't look at it that way, I mean, God, you want to kill our sport? Come on, man. Like it's not the most television friendly sport out there. I mean, if you don't know anything about wrestling, you're looking at two dudes rolling around in some leotards, right? I mean, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. Yeah. And so you want to hurt our sport, you know, keep taking it away, keep keeping guys out and not wrestling and doing all that. And people get pissed off. So make it count, make it mean something. So what we're going to do for the NWCA, the mid majors, I think it's awesome, but it would be great if you had some sort of component like a scoring system that maybe duels, you have some sort of dual format to the national tournament. You still have your individual tournament, but the dual format kind of adds points to your overall points. And so, because you could have a team that's got, I mean, okay, look, we beat Michigan, right? When we come to the NCAA tournament, I think they got like 6 or 7 All-Americans. We have 2, right, in our lineup. Now, I think we're going to get more, but we only have 2. They have, I think, 6 or 7, and one of them is a national champ. Technically, they should score more points than us at the national tournament, where in a duel, their national champ, he can only score 6 points. Where at the national tournament, if he bonused everybody, he's scoring 30 points.
Yep.
And so is that really a team? Like, you know what I mean? So maybe make a component of it where you have this kind of dual format. You take the X amount of top teams, and maybe it's before or after. I think it would be better after, because what you do is, once you have your national tournament, let's say you take however the standings finish at the end of the year, you take the top, I don't know, 24, 32, whatever of the individual standings. And then you take them and then you put them into a dual format. And then to be considered the national champion overall, you know, you get points for advancement. You get points for, you know, how you do in this dual meet format. And then those points get added to your overall total. And hey, you know, it might be competitive, because people love Cinderella stories, right? And you see that more often in team sports than you do in individual sports. You know, when you see a basketball team make an unbelievable run, you're like, oh my God, never heard of this team before. And, you know, they're in the Sweet 16, you know, the elite whatever, 8 or I don't even know. But they make these runs and people are like, wow. And so you do something like that and you can make it matter, you know, or you put a financial commitment onto it. And it's like, listen, you know, if your guys are healthy, you know, they wrestle, they don't duck, they don't sit. And if you don't, you know what, you get fined. I don't know. I mean, and some of these programs are like, yeah, hit me with a fine, you know, who cares? But hey, you ain't getting that from us. I mean, like, I'll tell you that right now. I mean, we'll wrestle, you know, we don't duck anybody. I mean, like we will have a guy out there. We will be wrestling, and it is what it is. And so I don't know, man. I think there are probably better ideas than I have.
That's super unique. It's something I hadn't even thought of, and I absolutely cool love idea. It. Because only thing I could come up with prior is like, what if that's your – and it works better for conference tournament than NCAAs, obviously. What if that's your third criteria? So conference record, head-to-head, team dual score in the seeding meeting. But I love that having
– how many points you score for your team in a duel? Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean,
is that what you meant?
Yeah, I mean, you could use that. I mean, like, honestly, I think there are a lot of things that you could do. Wrestling, and again, Chad, you know this. I'm not a sports guy. I'm a wrestling guy, so I don't.
No, I was just gonna say, like, you're totally forgiven for not knowing the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I don't follow.
You're not a basketball guy, things,
but you know, when it comes to wrestling, I feel like a lot of wrestling people are traditionalists and they like, you know, they like riding time. They get frustrated with this out of bounds stall call, you know, we'll just make it freestyle, you know, like they like what we have and they don't want to deviate from that. And, you know, the dual component of it, I mean, man, that is traditional. And, you know, I feel like a lot of our, in my mind, it's traditional, but like a lot of our other coaches that are out there, their main focus is in other places. You know, they want to see, you know, what they do at the national tournament. They don't care about the duels. They're going to rest the guy or, you know, avoid competition because of, you know, seeding or whatever it may be. I mean, look at the other teams. Listen, if our quarterback is out of the game for whatever reason, you know, we're not going to play. No, you're going to throw another guy in there. And you know what? Nobody gives a damn if you lose and you didn't have them. Okay. Lost. You lost.
Yep.
You lost. So, you know, the best programs in the country, you know, in other sports and basketball and football and, you know, some of these other high profile sports, you know, hey, make a case. So what? So, you know, our starting point guard, you know, we would have won if he was able to play. Well, you didn't. You lost. Okay. At the end of the day, X team beat X team, and that's on you. And for whatever reason, you know, I get one guy's out. You know, two guys are out, but you know, you got some of these places that, you know, they avoid competition, they bump guys around so based on seeding and ranking, and so they don't hit. it kind of sucks, you know, to be honest with you. So you ain't gonna get that.
And that's not just a D1 NCAA wrestling issue. It's happening in high schools and stuff.
It's trickled down to high school. It's just it's horrible across the sport.
It's crazy, man.
It's not great for the sport. We can all agree on that.
I mean, I've gone to some of these high school duels, and it's like they will literally stay in their weight class, and they'll take the forfeit. The other guy gets a forfeit. Then they'll take the forfeit underneath, and it's like nobody came here to just see this. Like, let's get some wrestling. And so freaking what? We're talking about high school, you know? Throw them out there and let them freaking wrestle. But that's just, I don't, what has the world become? You know, it's like,
yeah, dude. I mean, it's not often you see a kid like we had that wrestled up in the state tournament to wrestle Nash Hutmacher and, yeah, you know, arguably, yeah, won, you know,
right.
That's, I don't know where I land on that argument, but we're lucky to have had him.
HSAA registered official, Chad, please do not get me in trouble.
He is. That's true. So we touched on it just a bit. You know, the rules have changed. We talked about being traditional.
There's my dog.
Oh, that's all right. We love dogs.
And there's my kid.
There's the kid. Which kid was that?
That's Miles.
Miles. Yeah. Yeah. They have a lot of fun at the duels. We love having them there. Bring a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your thoughts on the new rules this year and how maybe the 3-point takedown specifically, I think, has been the biggest change, and what your view on it is. I think it's a positive, but yeah, I also think maybe we should get more points for an escape, but maybe not. I don't know. I could be led either way. What's your thoughts on the whole rule changes that have happened this past year
and how they've
affected things?
So I think at first I'm going to be honest. I was a little unsure of the 3-point takedown. Yeah, I think everybody was. But I'm going to be honest. I don't know if it's changed a whole lot. All right. And hear me out. The one thing I think it's helped is you're kind of never out of a match, right? Because I mean, takedowns can come quick and you can get points. So that's that. But let's be honest. If a guy give 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, 10 point takedowns, the guys that are going to blow guys out are going to blow guys out. That's just that doesn't change anything. They're just doing it faster now. Okay. See my kid in the background.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
He's trying to avoid it. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, I got dogs running around and you're trying to get them. But the people that are going to blow guys out are going to blow guys out. It's just happening faster. What I would like to see is a statistic and see actual numbers in highly contested bouts, right? What I believe is going to happen, and you've seen some of it already, in the matches that you have like a 1 and 2 ranking or, you know, or whatever, you know, very close ranking, you're going to see guys, and I believe this, you see guys now not take as much risk because, dude, if I give up 3 points, I might be out of the match. You know, giving up 2, getting an escape, now I'm only down by 1, you know, and let's just say I'm not that great on my feet. So now it's like, I don't know if I should kind of open up until I need to, and that's later in the match. And so I've seen a couple matches where it's been 2-1. There's no takedown there. I've seen matches where it's been 1-0 on highly contested matches. And that is defeating the purpose, right? They wanted to put 3-point takedown to make it more exciting for people to create more action and so on and so on. I don't know at the very top echelon if that is happening. At the low, at below that, yeah, dudes are blowing guys out. And people are like, this is the greatest thing in the world. It's like, they would have blew them out anyway. We're just getting them on the mat and off the mat faster. That's just my opinion. So I like the 3-point takedown. I do, because like I mentioned before, you're never out of a match. You can kind of claw your way back in where it was harder. I mean, you get a takedown, you cut him, you only got a 1 point. You get a takedown, you cut him, now you're at 2 points, where it just doubles it all. And so you can get yourself back into a match, which I like. And you know, I love wrestling on my feet. So these rules would have been perfect for me. I didn't turn guys on top. I rode guys, but I never turned anybody. And so, I like it. I do. I would like to see the numbers at the end of the year and really, really give a deep dive and see how effective it was. I think the biggest one is, and people have been talking about this since the dawn of time. And it's like, dude, the stalling, man. The stalling is just out of control. We don't know who's supposed to be doing what, and you're doing what they say, and then they hit you for stalling. The out-of-bounds stall is just the most ridiculous thing in the world, because they hit it one way, and then the exact same thing would happen again, and they don't hit it. And it's because now the ref's like, well, I don't want to insert myself into the match, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to dictate what, you know, what's going to happen. Like, listen, dude, just call it like it is. If they do it, they do it. If they don't, they don't. And so what's happened is the out of bounds stall has completely overtaken the traditional stalling in the middle of the mat. I mean, you guys saw Oklahoma. I mean, we chased those dudes around the mat, and there nobody got hit for stalling. And I'm like, what do you want us to do? We are literally chasing these guys, and they're not going to take a bad shot because the guy's backing away. And so, like, literally, they're just trying to get a hold of guys, and there's nothing. Nothing's happening. And, you know, I've told, you know, the head guy, and I was like, listen, just like the out of bounds, they'll always hit that first one. They rarely hit the second one. And so you do that to encourage the guy to stay in, right? Well, hell, do it for traditional stalling. A guy's running around, not wrestling, avoiding. Hit them for stalling and be like, dude, you better start wrestling. And, you know, hopefully something goes off in my mind and I'm like, oh, hell, I better stop doing what I'm doing, or I'm going to get a point, you know, given to the other guy. And so I just think our how we think or our mindset about it needs to shift a little bit. So we create or the officials do their job in creating action, right? Hey, it's my responsibility to get my guys prepared to wrestle. I think it's the officials' responsibility to keep these guys wrestling and not doing nothing, you know? So I don't know. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir.
Yeah, and 100%. I might have accidentally said I think there should be 2 points for an escape. I meant a reversal, actually.
Yeah.
Reversal, I think, should be more valuable than an escape. But anyway.
We mean what you know, Chad. Shift gears a little bit here. We talked about the importance of duels. We have a really big one Sunday. Talk about, you know, the importance of getting maybe some fans in the building. I saw Cubbies, or the university's doing a promotion with Cubbies where students, off chance anyone's listening, $500 Cubbies drawing. That's a lot of food and beer. And my own personal question, request, or everyone call it, coach, can we maybe please start at 285?
You want an Elam to start and an Elam to end? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I just Sloan Elam part three to end the duel would be a blast. That would be
pretty cool. Yeah. No doubt.
it goes back to I'm a traditionalist, man. And I want to start at 25 every single time.
You like having Tanner start, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's just me. And I that's where I'll always go. I thought it was interesting when OU wanted to start at 285, because I'll just be honest, they were unsure if they were going to wrestle Buchanan. Yep. And that's a situation like we just talked about, you know, they were unsure if they were going to wrestle Buchanan. And I still think they shouldn't have wrestled him, because he ain't going to major Sloan. And even if he majors Sloan, we still win the duel on points. So he needs to tech him or pin him. And if you're looking at it that way, protect his seed. He would have got the number one seed at the Big 12 tournament. don't wrestle him. So I like starting at 25. You know, TJ, he's our spark plug. He's gonna go out there and he's gonna give you everything he's got. And he kind of gets sets the ball rolling for us. So I mean, and hell, he's got a banger. you know, at 25.
Yeah. That's going to be a fun one, too.
Noah Certain's no joke.
Yeah,
he's like number 9, 8, uh-huh. depending on what you're looking at.
I mean, he is tough. And, you know, TJ has lost to him the last couple times.
He's been wrestling really well, though.
But he's beat him before, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's been wrestling well. And I think that this is a match that he's looking forward to. This duel is going to be huge for us. You know, we planned it this way to, you know, hit these solid teams. We always finish with NDSU, but we hit these solid teams to kind of give us what we need, you know, in preparation, for that postseason. And they're having some Cubbies giveaways. they're handing out, the national qualifier magnets I think it's important. You know, this duel is going to be a big duel, and what helps us, I mean, we need every advantage, especially being at home. Frost is a very hard place to compete in. We have seen that with our basketball teams, and we need to create the same environment for our guys on the mat. we go down to Sioux Falls and there's 3,000 people. I mean, that was amazing, and the guys the guys fed off of it. The fans were into it, and we need to have the same type of environment in Frost. And I'm not gonna lie to you, it's frustrating at times because we've had it before, and we got an 11th ranked team in the country. We're not talking about the conference, we're talking about the country. And there's only one mid-major that is ranked higher than us, and that's Cornell. And we're up there with the Blue Bloods. And get your butt in the stands and cheer these guys on, because it is a street fight with rules, man. Who doesn't like watching, two guys go out there and duke it out? Like, I mean, get in there, make the environment crazy, make it hard to wrestle in, and support these guys, because they don't go out there just to do it for themselves. I mean, they came here to South Dakota State because of the support and, that we have in our fan base. And, we need to have a packed house coming in.
And just to further bolster the quality of wrestling, there's a ranked guy in every match, and it's going to be 7 ranked versus ranked matchups. I mean, what more can you do for $20 on a Sunday afternoon in Eastern South Dakota?
Uh-huh. You got it. You said it.
And the atmosphere is as electric as any WNIT anybody's ever been to. When it's rocking for wrestling, you know how into it wrestling fans are. It's a different type of into it. It's a way more raucous environment. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm very excited. We got guys that I think can really, really pull off some upsets. I don't know what I'm looking for. Where I'm looking for upsets, maybe I'd like to see Derek get one. Alec, I think, is going to win. Kale's probably got a tight match there. That's a swing match on paper anyway.
I think on paper you got
– it's about a 15-16 final score. So
74, 84, and 97. And it's funny because on paper, those are the matches we should win.
Right.
Well, you got at 97 – That's a rematch of the semifinals of the national tournament and the Big 12 finals.
So finals.
Yep. Finals.
At 84, their guys ranked maybe just below us, and they wrestled last year, and Bennett lost by a point. Now, Bennett wrestled him over the summer freestyle and beat him. And then at 74, last year, Mako beat Kale in the round of 12 to be an All-American. So it's like, dude, we're projected to win those three, and they've all split matches because Kale beat them earlier in the year in the Southern Scuffle Finals. So, it's going to be a dogfight. And then you got, those other matches, at 25, man, that's going to be a dogfight. I think it's a match that TJ can grind out and pick up a win at 33. Cardinal, the same thing, 41. I mean, those guys are ranked right next to one another. That's another dogfight. 49. I mean, literally every single, the only one that if you want to say is a mismatch, but I never count my guy out.
165.
That dude's what, two-time national champ, ranked number one in the country, world
number three, champ. Pound for pound.
Yeah,
but then we get into the argument: do they even trot him out?
Right. I mean, I don't know.
They may not.
I hope so. I think they do, just because.
Well, they ducked him in the past. Remember
when we wrestled the duel down there? They did not send him out. Yeah, they did not send him out in the duel down there. They gave him the weekend off. And so I don't think Brian does it this time. I think he's coming guns a-blazing, and he wants to get a win. But yeah, man, I mean, every single match is going to be a barn burner. I believe that. And our guys wrestle the best when there's action, right? When there is confrontation, there's a fight, and it's a heated battle. That's where our guys are the best. And so I'm looking forward to having the Tigers in here on Sunday, and hopefully it turns out to be a battle and should be good.
Well, we definitely got to respect your time. We know how busy you are, and you got a family and everything. We're getting close to an hour here. I just wanted to shout out that, you know, you're wearing your gear right here.
Yeah, baby.
The JWC raffle and silent auction. Right. That's going on February 24th. Maybe just I can read off the things that it is, but maybe you do a better job selling people on why that's such a great deal. Cause it really is.
No, it's, you know, everybody, you know, where do I start?
Tickets are still available. $250 for two people.
Available, right? We have tickets available. They're $250 a ticket, and that gets you and a guest into the Nine Bar, where we have our raffle silent auction. And with that, you and a guest get all you can eat food and drink. They're silent auction items, and then at the end of the night, I mean, they're giving away things throughout the entire night. I mean, everybody gets something, and then the winner has the opportunity, he will get $10,000. So you know, you're not just you can get something out of this, but I think the biggest thing is what this goes towards, right? You know, you talk about the landscape of college athletics, you talk about you know, all the things that these kids go through and the things that they do, and all this goes to support our kids. The Jackrabbit Wrestling Club is a regional training center, and we provide opportunity for these guys. I mean, you look at the last, I don't know, 2-3 years. I mean, in my six years here, we've put 1, 2, 3, 4 guys on world teams. Out of those four, we have brought home 3 world medals. That goes to fund that. You know, it pays for their training. It pays for their travel. I mean, going down, I mean, Bennett last year, I mean, he went down to Chile, won a Pan Am gold. He went over to Jordan, Amon Jordan. And, you know, we went over there and he took a bronze medal. And so, like, that stuff just doesn't happen. You know, we raise money for all these things and it goes directly to impact our guys. And so I encourage, you know, everyone who's listening and who's going to be checking this podcast out, you know, it's vital. It's vital for our program because
it's a good time.
Oh, it's a great time.
One-on-one time with coaches and athletes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time, and if we didn't have these things, we would not. And I'm telling you, man, we would not be where we are today. It's because of the opportunities we provide them over the summer, the training, the competition that does not get funded by the university, because it's a separate university. We wrestle collegiate and the JWC and the free in the international styles, it's freestyle and Greco. It's what you see in the World Olympics. So it's completely separate. And, you know, we need to have the resources to be able to take care of our guys, to be able to send them all over the world. And honestly, you know, you look at it from a wrestling competition perspective, is great, right? But let's look at it from an educational an educational standpoint, right? I mean, I have been fortunate. I have been very fortunate. I have made teams and I've been able to travel this world because of the sport that I do. And you talk about eye-opening experiences. You talk about, you know, the educational piece. I mean, you know, some of the best wrestling in the world, you know, outside of the United States is in some not great places. You know, you talk about some third world countries. You talk about, Russia, and not saying Russia's third world, but, you know, you talk about Russia and some of these other spots, and you get to go and experience a different culture, and you get to learn, and the hospitality and the camaraderie is unbelievable. I mean, not to get off on a tangent here, but I remember, I think it was maybe 2016 or 2012 when Jordan Burroughs won an Olympic gold medal, and the guy he beat in the finals was from Iran, and like they're buddying it up, and like the rest of our country's like, oh my God, like, you know, that's from Iran. But we don't see any of that in sport. You know, it's different. And so for our guys to have that experience and be able to travel the world and really utilize what they do to gain experience and knowledge, I mean, it wouldn't be possible if we didn't have the resources that we have in the JWC to be able to support that. So if you haven't bought your tickets, buy your darn tickets. It goes from 4 to, I believe, 8 o'clock. And it's a darn good time. And there's a lot of people, a lot of good people to talk to. And then the next day, the Bison come on down and to Frost. And the goal is to put it on the Bison.
Well, I think we're going to.
Always is.
Yeah.
It's going to be a repeat of a couple of years ago.
Right. That'll be nice. That'll be nice. I like those duels where you go in and you just kind of mop the mats. You know, with a team, I know the fans like the heatedness, like, dude, I ain't got any more hair. Look at all the gray in my beard. Like, you know, give me a little break.
Yeah. They make some shampoo for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do want to be mindful of your time here, coach. And I got kids myself to help my wife wrangle, but, we got 4 big events left in the year. We got obviously Missouri Duel, Border Bell, Big 12s, NCAAs. Yep. What is maybe one thing? It can still be wrestling related, but maybe not on the mat per se, because I don't want you to start up to single out one of the guys sickly or anything. But of those 4 events, what's one thing you're really looking forward to the most in these last 4 events of the year?
You know, obviously there's some key matchups, right, in these next couple events. I mean, so those are going to be, you know, fun. You know, you talk about, you know, Tanner Sloan, right? I mean, he's got Rocky Elam. I mean, that's going to be huge. But I think overall, the one thing that I would love is for our seniors, you know, our seniors to go out on a positive note, right? Finish out these next couple home duels in a great fashion. Let them know that they are appreciated by our fans and come out and support them, because I think that is an everlasting memory that they will have. And then have a good Big 12 tournament. Have a good Big 12 tournament and do everything you can to, you know, give yourself the best chances of getting to the nationals, and you know, let's roll, because hey, you made it to the national tournament. Now, hey, let it fly. You know, I mean, that's what you've trained to do. And so, you know, I really don't even think there's one thing that I can, you know, kind of pick. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, these next 4 competitions, are going to show. And show where we're at, show the development of our guys, and, you know, put people on notice. You know, I think last year sending 8 guys to the national tournament was monumental. That's never happened before. That was huge for our program. And I said it last year, you know, at the national tournament, we were there, and I mean, everywhere you looked, it was like jackrabbits, jackrabbits, jackrabbits. And I remember, you know, being at the tournament, and it was like, all right, so-and-so from South Dakota State's up on mat one, so-and-so from South Dakota State's up on mat eight, so-and-so from South Dakota State's up on this mat. And it was just like, you couldn't get away from it. And then when we walked outside the venue, it was just like, people were just, South Dakota State was the talk of the town. And I believe we have another team that can do the same. And, you know, show the rest of the country, you know, where we are, what we're about. And that we're here to stay. I mean, this isn't just a kind of flash in the pan, right? I mean, this is a program that, you know, has a great foundation, and we're continuing to build on top of it. So these next four events are going to be awesome. You know, our guys are going to go out there and perform, and it should be fun. It should be a lot of fun. And with Kansas City being so close, it's one of the closer national tournaments that we've had. I think Des Moines and Omaha have been, you know, closer, but and the one that didn't happen. But you know, Kansas City being so close, you know, we have a strong contingent of fans going, and I know not all of them are happy, because we got allotted X amount of tickets, and I mean, we got a lot, but I mean, I think we got a lot of 200 some odd tickets because of where we placed, and we had over 470 requests. And so I wish I could have got more, but I couldn't. And you know, but even then, man, come down. You'll be able to scalp tickets and come and support. And it's just gonna be an awesome time.
Well, with that, thanks as always. You're always so generous with your time and coming on here and talking with us, Coach. We surely appreciate that. But we're going to call it a night. How about we get a Get Jacked on three? You ready?
You got it.
3, 2, 1. Get jacked.
Yeah, baby.